Welcome to Heartspeak Podcast, episode 99. Past meet future, future meet past.
Welcome to the Heartspeak Podcast, where valuable insights are shared that bypass the mind and resonate with the heart. Listen, open your heart, become inspired, find the joy and fulfillment that awaits when you follow your heart. And now, here's your host, Dr. Christine Page.
Well, I should really say take three, because this is the third time I have recorded this podcast, or thought I had. First time I did it and I wasn't so happy with the outcome. Second time, I forgot to hit the record button. And so here you have me. And this is always a good sign that the universe had different plans for what I would speak about. And I have actually changed my plans between the unrecorded session and now. So how's your week been, my friends? I know it's been tough. I know it's been tough for many of you because of floods and fires and COVID and other situations that are affecting us. But there's also a lot going on inside us. And before I get into my past and future memories, part of what's going on is about us letting go of the past and creating our new future. And I know that as I'm looking at these wonderful planets all going backwards, remember I said it's like a truck or a van, beep, 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 backing up on you. It feels as if you're being run down. It feels to be run down, you know, grounded into the girth. And it's not because you're not a good person. It's not because you're doing something wrong. I think our biggest challenge is our stubbornness. We think we know what we're doing. We don't want to change paths. We've invested a lot in the path we're on. We've invested a lot into the people we're relating to. We've invested a lot into who we think we are, our roles, our rules. And now these planets are rolling back over us and saying, are you sure? Are you sure this is where you want to go? And this is a really tough time. I really appreciate that. There's a lot of passion, there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of pain. But sometimes it takes that sort of energy in us to wake up to say, is this the most loving thing I can do for myself? Is this the most loving way I want to live my life? And for so many of us, it's not been that our lives have always been about love. Oh, yes, we've loved other people and we've loved our God. But have we really loved ourselves? Have we treated ourselves with the kindness that we deserve, the love we deserve? Have we treated our bodies with that same love and kindness? And I was listening this week to people talking about how we live with our planet and how we can live in a more harmonious way. But my belief is always, until we live in a more harmonious way with ourselves, we can't live in a more harmonious way with the planet, Mother Earth. And I believe that the soil that needs healing comes from our mind, the way we treat our bodies, and then the soil of the earth, so that it isn't so much about the germ affecting us that we need to be worrying about. It's the fact that the soil is allowing that germ in. So part of this today's podcast is very much about healing our soil. No argument. There is no truth in the fact that we're not lovable. There's no truth in the fact that we're disconnected. You might say, no, there is. I can give you six examples. No, there's stories that you're using. If you truly believe that you're not lovable, then you've forgotten that it's almost impossible not to be loved, because we're all children of the Great Mother or God, whatever you want to believe in. If love is connection, we're all connected. So what has disconnected ourselves from that love is often our ability to feel shameful or fearful, or beliefs that say, I don't deserve. Now, I'm not asking us to look at how we deserve to be loved by something outside, you know, God, a great mother, whatever we want to call it. but we do have the right to deserve that we love ourselves. And if you got the chance to look down on yourself at the moment from this wise, you passed over, you're looking back, what would you see of yourself now? Would you watch how you're holding on to old things that do not serve you or nurture you? Would you look down and say, why are you doing that still? Is that the most loving thing you can do? And that's the way I'm seeing life at the moment, the way in which if we could see ourselves and our actions, not even towards other people, but towards ourselves, the way that we are living, is this the most joyful way you want to live? Is this the way in which you want to experience your real spirituality? And that's a choice we all have. I've spent time talking about choices in the past. What is my response to myself, my inner knowing? What choices do I want to make? This is a time to say, blank slate, clear the sand. How do we each want to experience our day? Not looking outside us, looking inside us. And as Rumi said, and I posted this on Facebook, yesterday I thought I was clever and decided I could change the world. Today I am wise and I understand I can only change myself. This moment may be very dramatic, may be very critical. Many people are feeling so stirred up by the energies, but it's often only through crisis that we will let go of holding on to something that doesn't serve us anymore. A truth, a belief, some other pattern that someone else has told us the way to live, the way we think that we'll be good people if we do it this way. The answer is, there is no better way than loving ourselves. There's nothing else. It really is not in the hands of somebody else. It's just, is this the most pleasurable, loving thing I can do in this moment? And when we're dealing with anybody else, we can only, as I said last time, respond to the way we want to turn up. What is the most loving, and not for other people, but what is the most loving thing I can do for myself when I am in relationship with someone else? That's all we can do. And I feel that we are being taken, feeling as if we're going through the ringer, trying to make choices. But truly, this is possibly just until the planets start moving forward again, which is September, mid-September, October, November. I'm sorry, it's still got some months to go. But until the planets start moving forward, it isn't necessarily about doing something new. What's the new thing I'm going to start? It's more about, what am I stopping? What am I finishing? What am I ending? And it's not necessarily a project external to you, but what mentality, what mindset, what beliefs am I finished with? And can I let them go? Can I either imagine myself pouring water onto the earth and letting Mother Earth take it, take a stone, put them all into the stone, throw it into water? Or maybe just say, that's it, I'm finished. I'm stopping. And then dealing with the old echoes that want to come back and say, please take me back, please take me back. Can you just acknowledge you're finished and really experience that letting go at a deep grieving level of saying, I can't go back there again? Okay, so now that was my interlude into the past and future, the very much I want that to be the meat. But I wanted just to also look at a bigger picture, because these small things, and they're not small, but when we're so focused on our own selves, sometimes we're thinking this is so monumental that how can I climb this mountain? This seems so big. But for all of you listening, I know you're highly evolved souls. You understand that you've been on this planet many times. You've been on other planets. If you don't believe that, that's okay. But humanity's been around for millions of years. We've certainly been around for 150,000 years. So even though these weeks and months can feel like lifetimes, they're a very small part of our spiritual journey here on earth. And what I'm watching is how the future is being rolled out. And I want us to understand that that future being rolled out is really a reflection of what we know we can do in the past. So what am I saying? I'm saying is that as I start to look back in the past, and you know how much I love history and I'm very curious, I'm fascinated by some of the things that we're now seeing coming into the future. Okay, what's she talking about? If we saw Star Trek or one of these other sci-fi programs, series for a while, we might have been amazed back in, when did that start, the 80s? About, wow, what are they talking about? A hollow port, a beam me up, Scotty, a, you know, warp speed. All of these things came out of the mind of someone who really could see into the future. And we all saw those as like, oh yeah, they're just on television, they were on the screen. But now we're seeing them in reality. So now we're starting to see people like Elon Musk and others developing technology that really aligns quite strongly to what was present in the minds of the futurists who could created these series. So there's more and more talk about quantum physics. There's more and more talk about holograms. They're now seeing that crystals don't have to live in a space, they can live in a time space, which means they can move or they can shape shift. And as we start to see that, we now start to see how there is now a desire to change DNA, RNA, maybe through vaccines, maybe through viruses, maybe through programming. And you might say, wow, that sounds shocking that that's going to happen. But we've done this in the past. And I'm less concerned about the what. It's obviously more concerning about what's the intention behind the people who have the power to do this. But recognize again that back in Atlantis, for instance, and you might say, how do you know this, Chris? Well, I'm just going to tell you I know it. That we used crystals to harness the power of the sun, to harness the power of the earth, that I talk about the grid system. And in that, we created this holographic world in which we lived. In other words, we created a reality that we all thought was real. And we powered everything through this satellite of crystals, or this satellite of energies that use the sun and maybe cosmic energy and others to power our needs, so our homes and our offices, etc. And in knowing how to work with the earth energy and the sun energies, we also knew how to fly. We had flying machines that use the ley lines or the grids to move from place to place. Now, you might say she's really going a little strange, but some of you will say, actually, I remember some of this. And I have a past life memory of the holograms, working with holograms, which is probably why I'm so fascinated, of how I as a scientist, had your blueprint, your holographic blueprint in a file, and I had a machine with lasers and crystals and lights, and you could step in there and I would reprogram you to your own blueprint. And that was healing. It was literally a knowing how to reprogram the DNA, we might say, to fire on those levels of your own blueprint. Now, I went a little crazy with that machine and I probably misused it, but I do have that memory of knowing that we could do this. So when I listen to someone talk about we're going to program people with a belief system or we've done this in the past. All we have to now say is, what is the right use of this energy and who is the one that is programming it? So I'm saying the past carries a lot of knowledge. And when you speak, when you hear about us putting, or Elon Musk or others putting many satellites into the sky to be able to work through 5G, to change, to have this sort of communication, the communication isn't through our cell phone, it's through us. So we become the antennae for this communication. And again, that can sound scary, but if we understand that done the right way, we are expanding our consciousness to be able to communicate with each other, to be able to communicate with maybe the star people, to be able to communicate with the cosmic energy, to use that cosmic energy, to use the earth energy. And this is more about our consciousness, not just the intention, although I've spoken about that, of the people who are creating this, but it is a mirror to what we already know how to do. And so I want you not to be scared that someone else is doing this, because they're doing it on a very, let's say, three-dimensional level. Our power to do this is 11 times greater than that, 20 times greater than that. So this is mirroring what's going on in technology, is literally mirroring how we know how to do these things. And if you just think back 25 years, maybe, if you're as old as that, you know, we couldn't even believe that we could call each other, speak to each other, see each other on a phone, or now on a watch. Those things were like, no, I have to carry, I can't move away from the phone. And that meant, some of you might not even remember having a phone that you couldn't move, wasn't a mobile. But we have moved so far, and that technology isn't external to us, it's a reflection of us. Our ability to communicate and be able to see people all around the world is how we are able, is in our DNA to already do that. The question has to now be, how do we expand our consciousness in a healthy way? And this is why I want to talk about the past and the future. As I've maybe mentioned before, when I look at history, really it was only in the last 3,000 years that we had wars. Prior to that, we have evidence, archaeological evidence. It wasn't that it was without fighting, but it wasn't war-based. There weren't huge masses of armies and weapons. People built their cities in harmonious places. They built their cities in ways that harmonized with the planet. So we are not coming from being barbarians. That's what the image always wants to be. Oh, yes, you were going around and hitting people on the head and stealing, and you were hunter-gathering. No. We were highly evolved. And if you take it even, that's maybe 8,000 years ago. If you take it even further back, and I've been looking at some of the work that went around in Lemuria, which for those who don't know, maybe was 100,000 years to about 40,000 years ago, and existed around the Pacific Ocean. We know that they built these cities, and not only did they build these cities, but they managed to move stones or meld stones or create things which we don't even know how to do now. And it's often said, oh, these stones moved through the air and they landed where they needed to be. Just a bit like building Stonehenge. Now, you might say, oh, that's fanciful, or even that an ET came and did it. No, we knew how to do that. We knew how to harness that magician's wand that we built last time and harness it to our intention, like a force and focus, I call it. So it's like firing an arrow. If you fire it without any focus, you're going to cause damage. If you fire it without any force, you don't have anything. When you get the right balance between focus and force, you actually are able to achieve a lot. That's why we were developing our magician's wand. So we knew how to do that in the past. We knew how to move stones because we didn't see them as a problem. We saw them as part of our life. In other words, in Lemurian days, we were so in tune with the stone kingdom and the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom that we literally could energize ourselves and have a relationship with those energies, that they would then float through the air or do something. Yes, we need to have a better relationship with the planet, but not from a place of, oh, we're guardians of the planet, we're taking care of it. No, we need to have it because it is so brilliant and wise, and we need to be humble in the presence of the stones and the animals and everything else, the wind, the fire, the water. We know how to have good relationships. and we start those relationships with ourselves first, then with others. This is a time not for separation, not for disassociation. What's going on around our planet is a lot about how we can separate, how we should not trust people, how we should have fear. This is not the way of our future. If we understand that there is no separation between me and you, between me and the stone, and that whatever I do to the stone, I do to myself, we would change the world overnight. When I see someone doing actions to other people or saying things to other people which are hurtful, we would never do that if we were not hurting ourselves, if we were not disassociated or separated from ourselves. Our journey forward is to do with connection, not with unity consciousness where we all do the same thing, but with love and acceptance of other people's diversity. And through the understanding that wherever I have separated from part of myself, I can no longer go to war with that part and project it into the world and go to war with it. Consciousness is waking up. Our consciousness is waking up. That isn't some spiritual statement. That saying is, I no longer have the veils that allow me to separate from parts of myself or parts of you. Now we are one. And I need to understand that for a healthy sense of that oneness, it isn't about losing myself in your problems or losing myself in your pain. It's about having a healthy immune system that says, I am me, I have compassion for you, but I cannot change you or make you do something by my actions. All I can do is have the consciousness to love myself and allow you to do the same. We are like tuning forks. The best thing I can do is have a pure note from my tuning fork that allows you, if you choose, to actually start vibrating yourself. But I cannot make that vibration happen unless I am pure and true to myself. So the future is unfolding. They call it the Great Reset. This is what the economists are talking about in January 2021. They talked about it from last year. The Great Reset of how we are going to value ourselves, how we are going to value our resources, how we are going to value our work. Everything's changing. But as in essential self, money is not about just what we spend, but it's about how we feel about ourselves. What is the value we place on ourselves? What is the abundance we feel in ourselves? And how do we feel better and more full and more abundant in a healthy relationship, in a healthy relationship with our planet? This isn't about separation. This isn't about fixing something. This is about breaking down the veils, becoming more transparent, and owning who we are in a healthy way. And that healthy way starts with loving ourselves and being compassionate to all parts of ourselves, however tough that is. So with those words, my dear friends, take care of yourself, and I send much love and blessings to you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Heart Speak Podcast with Dr. Christine Page. Please check out all Heart Speak episodes in the podcast archive section on www.christinepage.com. Heart Speak is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, and now playing on iHeartRadio. You can also watch the archive podcasts on YouTube. Connect with Christine on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, including her newest Facebook group, The Great Mother Calling. Do share with family, friends, colleagues. Join us next time for another edition of Heart Speak.